As we go through the scriptures, we've been dealing and looking repeatedly at the family. And in looking at the family, we have seen from the time of Adam, because we started the book of Genesis, mankind was blessed with the privilege of having family. God blessed Adam and allowed him to see every type of creature that there was, at least in the animal kingdom. And Adam realized there was not a help suitable for him, and God made him one. And at that moment, God instituted family and told them that they would procreate. In other words, that they would be able to be fruitful and multiply. The family is an institution of God. It is not something that man made up. It is not an evolutionary process. When we look at the Word of God, we see explicitly from the revealed knowledge of God what His design is for mankind. When we look at alternative ways of life, we don't see any order. We see random chaos. We don't see anything that is prescriptive to tell us what we are supposed to do. Most of the things we do is that we do them. When we look at the Word of God, the revealed Word of God, we realize when we think it through that there is no way that one could speak of an infinite being such as God unless God reveals His information to them. When we look at the world from another point of view, we have to realize that everything that happens would not have an order or a system. You could not determine that if you drove the same way today, you would get home today because everything would be random. Secondarily, you would not be able to drive because everything you learned today would be gone tomorrow. In the revealed Word of God, it gives us a reason for uniformity and to understand that we can have order and understand all of the preconditions for science and for thought processes. Why are you saying this, Tim? It's very important for us to understand that the family is initiated and inaugurated by God. Could I argue it out more? Yes, I could, but I won't. We've talked before that God did things with the family. Today we're going to touch on Abraham's family as we normally do. We're going to talk on the family of Adam, and we're going to talk on the family of Noah. But in such a way, when we roll back to it, I'm going to hit it like this, and if you're familiar with it, you'll get it, and if you're not, I'll try to tie it in such a way that you'll be able to see what's going on. Our topic for today is help for the family in its repeated self-destructive ways. What do you mean, help for the family in its self-destructive ways? I mentioned just a moment ago, Adam. And I mentioned that God is the one that inaugurated the family. If we understand the revealed Word of God and we focus in on what God has revealed as opposed to what somebody else has said about the world, which never, ever, unless it's unseen, can be in the minds of man true. Every time something is said, whether it's a transitional form, whether it's a big bang creating everything, it's always when you don't see it that it's considered to be true. It's always only true in a textbook. It is never something that you can look at in life and see that it comports with what is said. You don't see half men. You don't see different kind of transitional forms all over the earth struggling to be what it is, and you don't see us evolving into something else. It's a fairy tale. But when we look at the revealed Word of God, everything still bears after its kind. Even with genetic engineering, canines still make canines, horses still horses, people. I'll go no further on that. But we got to understand something, that God instituted the family, and in the family He gave order. Order with Him, order with the world, Adam was in charge, and order with one another. Eve was given to be a help to Adam. In a 30-second brief comment, I told some people this week, when Eve was given to be a help to Adam, some people think that a woman being given to a man to be a help is a bad position. She's nothing. But think it through. Adam was a help to God on this earth. God was not going to come here and till the ground for man. God was not going to make children for the man. God was going to allow man to help in creating a world of people that loved him and that would work together in a systematic order of pleasing him and living at peace with each other. Adam was a help to God in what he was accomplishing. Did that mean Adam was nothing? Adam was in control of all the animals, the beasts of the field, and everything that he saw. Now, when Adam was given that job, he had to be downloaded or given the information to be able to be successful in that which he had to do. Now, when nothing else was suitable to be a help to Adam, God took from Adam, took a rib and made a woman and then brought her to him, and she is the help for him. Would someone that couldn't think be a help for him? Would somebody that couldn't reason well be a help for him? Would somebody that could not bear children be a help for him? Would not someone that could help accomplish the order and the goals of God be a help to him? It had to be a highly specialized person. A person with intelligence to realize the importance of what we are going to accomplish in this new role that we have. And for someone to take that and mitigate it and make it seem as if it's a nothing, that means there's an ignorance on their part that's highly, highly construed in the ways of wickedness and the darkness of this ungodly world. Adam messed up the family. God put them out of the garden. He gave them coats of skin to restore, to give a future of restoration to the family. He told Eve in Genesis 3 and 15 that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. The seed, women do not have seed. They do not have sperm. Usually when they have sperm, it's on loan. They get it somewhere, whether they go get it from a man or whether they go to a clinic. Women have eggs. You all agree? And so therefore, in this case, this is something that's miraculous being talked about. Somebody said, I don't believe in miracles. The Bible's full of miracles. What about the little spinning dot that explodes? And you get time, space, matter, and nothing else. And then all of a sudden you got rocks. Now all of a sudden you got rain. Then all of a sudden you got rain on the rocks and you make this soup. Oh, that's not a miracle. But what about all the one cell organisms that split and keep growing till they make different kinds of animals and beings that find each other, that develop slowly? It's just the story is so big. I'd rather believe in Santa. I think that I don't have as much work to do to believe in Santa as I would the other story. But the point is, God took that woman and that man, made them coats of skin. And that means he shed the blood of an animal to cover up that which they had. And therefore, the seed of the woman would be talking about his own son, Christ. But in order for someone to understand it, they need to read the whole of the scripture, all 66 books. And then they would be able to see the pattern weaving for the family. Once he did that, he promised restoration. Then mankind got so wicked that God destroyed the earth with the flood. Now, people say that there could never have been a flood all over the world. Let me explain something. Go to Google, G-O-O-G-L-E. That's G-O-O-G-L-E, Google. And type in, are there marine life fossils on every mountaintop? Don't have to take my word for it, but there are. I made a list of just a couple that I just wanted to share with you all today. Just a couple. One I just read where it talks about great flood legends, ancient misreadings in the fossil records, and then it just goes on and says, over the past two decades, there have been renewed attempts to search for the remains of Noah's Ark. I'm going to skip because I don't want to take a long time because I want to stay in the Word. But just one of the paragraphs says, fossils of marine organisms, especially shellfish like clams and other mollusks, and sometimes fish are found in relatively high elevations in many places around the world. I have another article here because if I read all of this, it'll take up my time to teach. And I say I have a lot to do and a lot to cover today. And the other one that I'm going to talk about is the one where they show that on the Himalayas, let me read, marine fossils, you can get this one on, if I give you the, you need to just go to answers.com or just type it in anyway, or just type in marine fossils in the Himalayas. Do that. That way you can get it all over the place. Read this, Tim. Marine fossils are also found high as the Himalayas, the world's tallest mountain range, reaching up to 29,029 feet. That's 8,848 meters above sea level. For example, fossil ammonites, that's coiled marine cephalopods, are found in limestone beds in the Himalayas and Nepal. All geologists agree that ocean waters must have buried these marine fossils in limestone beds. So how did these marine limestone beds get high up in the Himalayas? That's a lot of articles. It's interesting, but that's not the totality of what I'm talking about today. What I'm talking about today is that God destroyed the world with a flood, and even geologists say that something happened catastrophic in the world. They don't want to attribute it to Noah's Ark. They say waters could have never covered the whole world, and yet there's marine life on top, well, fossils of marine life on top of all of the mountains. That means that water at one time covered the whole earth, as it said in Genesis 1, as it also said after the flood. And the mountain ranges, when the tectonic plates would have shifted up and made your mountain ranges, where you have valleys going all around them like the seam on a baseball, you can interpret it any way you want to, but the fossils are there. I'm going to stick with the revealed revelation of God, because everything else does not comport. It makes me become a fool, and I'll have to believe in the Easter Bunny, and I'll have to believe in a reindeer flying around the world, and I'll have to believe that the mighty Thor swings his hammer, and that's why we got the day Thursday. I cannot believe that. My mind is too powerful for that. I refuse to let it become weak and inept and become, what do you call it, catatonic. Now, the Word of God shows that He restored the family after the flood with Noah. Mm-hmm. He started giving them another chance. But then after that, God selected a man, Abram. One man, one family. Adam was one man, one family. After the flood, it was Noah and one family. Then God chose Abraham. God destroyed or separated the world one more time after the Tower of Babel. I did the research on the web. Type in, did all languages come from one language? And you'll see varying reports on that. Many of the scholars say that they all go back to one. Some say three. Gary's a linguist here, but we're not going to talk to him about it right now. I'm teaching today. Now, I thought that would be a good funny to make. Look it up. Read it. Check it out. If you don't like it, fine. But the Bible talks about the languages being scattered. That was for the redemption of man, because they had decided we're going to ignore the teachings of God. And therefore, the world during that time had a chance as families to be restored. Same thing with the Exodus. God had already dealt with Abraham as one family. His people were taken and made slaves, his family. And God, through Moses, is giving the earth another chance, the family of man, of restoration. How? I'm going to use one family as the picture of what I do. Not that they're going to be so great that nobody else is going to equal them. No, they're going to be the example of what I want, how I want it, and you can join in. Well, that brings us to where we're saying, God has already shown through the things that I've just said, hopefully you were able to follow me, that He had help for the family in its self-destructive ways. Each of those times, sin, degradation, murder, violence had taken over, and God, through His power, had restored the family. Here, we're back to Exodus. We're back where we've been for the last few weeks. Now we're in chapter 33, and I want someone to read verses 1, 2, and 3 so that we can get this party started.
The Lord said to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I will give it."
I want us to understand in this first verse that Moses in chapter 33 is being told by God that I am still dealing with this family. This may not mean much to you today,
But understand that they have broken the commandment of Almighty God that was given in the 20th chapter of Exodus in what we call the Ten Commandments. They have violated the highest order that God has given, that you will have no other God before me. You will not make any graven image. And here God is showing, I've sworn to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. I have sworn to this man and his family. And I'm going to give this land to his seed. It's singular here. But read on, Dre.
I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites.
I need us to understand when we look through the Word of God that the whole world belongs to Him. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth belongs to God. So if I want to drive out the Hittite, the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hivite, I can do that. Someone said, that's cruel. Do you know what they were doing to their children? Do you know what they were doing to their children? Do you know what kind of relations they were having with animals? And it wasn't just pet and owner. Do you know what kind of slaughtering that they were doing? Do you know that they had already turned their back on the Almighty God and revealed His Word during the time of Noah, during the time after the flood? Do you understand that they had turned their back on God and those families would continually contaminate the world if God didn't exercise His righteous privilege, the judgment, as being the maker and the creator of all things? But the whole family of God, the whole family of man can become the same if the family of man will submit and become a part of the family of God. Read verse 3, please.
Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people.
Here is what I want us to understand, where we are and what we are trying to accomplish in this passage, these three verses, is that God is trying to give help to the family. But the family has taken, look at your part one up there, the privilege that God has given them, and they have neglected to deal with the responsibility set by Almighty God, and yet God is still willing to help the family. But now, I'm not going to be in your presence like that. I'll send a messenger. I'll send an angel because you're rebellious. You're stiff-necked people. You are the people that don't respect me. You are the people that do not feel that I should have control over the family so that the family can have order and peace with me, order and peace with each other, and that for the world. You built a golden calf. How did this get to the place where God didn't want to go up with them? How did it get to the place that God is calling these people a stiff-necked person, a people? In order for us to see that, we must examine the first part, the privilege. The privilege that God had given them back in Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. I want us to look at the privilege that was afforded to these people with their stiff neck and their hard heart and their ungodliness. If no one's there, it says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. For they departed from Rephidim and would come to the desert of Sinai, and it pitched in the wilderness. There Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus shall thou say to the house of Jacob. Notice this is a family, the house of Jacob and the children of Israel. Same family. You have seen what I've done to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. Listen to this. Listen. Then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. The part where the Hittites live, the Canaanites, the Amorites, etc. And you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You will be able to intercede. You will be able to help restore peace with me and the other nations as priests. You will be able to help the other families in the world to be right with me and right with each other. You will do that if you will obey my voice. You will be in a peculiar position. You will be a peculiar treasure. In a limited sense, you will be like Adam. Adam had the ability to help bring the world to the knowledge of God. If he had kept the family like it should, he broke it. You will be a peculiar treasure above all the people, for the earth is mine, and you shall be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a set apart nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. That's a privilege. I don't care how you slice it. That's a privilege to be in special honor with God, to be like a vice regent. We don't use those words hardly any. Let's say to be like a president of a nation while the president is gone. To maybe be a king over a ruling subjective area. See, in the old world, kings would come in and they would conquer a nation and then they would rule. But sometimes if the king that was there realized that your fight is bigger than my fight, your army is bigger than my army, what do I need to do that I may live and all my people not be destroyed? Bow down to me, pay tribute. I'll now be your king and I'll still let you be king. Israel was going to be in that position in the world. That's a privilege. They accepted the privilege. How do we know they accepted the privilege? Let's look on number two, where I have the responsibility part. They received the good news of being privileged. Now they're going to receive the good news of the responsibility that they will now have. Now, to some people, responsibility is not good news. How many people have all the genitalia of a male that were born that way and never rise up to be a man? Ask the women. They're married to somebody, but he looks like a man. He walks like a man. But that man, that person will not embrace responsibility. He runs from it. He runs like a person trying to run from a pit bull. The pit bull is 40 feet away, and he's 10 feet from the door. You should see him run from responsibility and slam the door so that responsibility and he never become intertwined. Well, how do we know about the responsibility that they agreed upon, the responsibility? The privilege was accepted in Exodus chapter 20 and 19. Listen to what the people said. And they said unto Moses, and I want you to get for me Exodus 24:3. Dre, I want you to get for me Deuteronomy 5:27. And they said unto Moses, speak thou unto us. We will hear, but let not God speak, lest we die. They wanted to hear what God had to say. Chapter 24 of Exodus, verse 3, Andrina.
And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do.
The privilege is accepted. Do you see it? The responsibility is agreed to. Therefore, we realize that help for the family has been offered, accepted, and the responsibility not only to have help for your family, but to be a help to other families has been accepted and agreed upon. Dree, read what I gave you to read in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27 through 29.
Go near and hear all that the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you.
Hold a second. I want you, while Dree is reading, to get for me Deuteronomy chapter 5, chapter 26, verse 17. Dree, go back to what you were reading, because we're going to make this thing move quickly.
Go near. And hear all that the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you.
The children of Israel was telling Moses, you go hear what God has said, and we will be obedient. We will listen to it. Tell us what God has to say, because there's help for the family. Somebody say the Bible doesn't say that. That means you're not reading it holistically. You're reading in bits and pieces. You'll never be able to fully understand what a man is just looking at his toenail. And then move from his toenail to look at his toe. And looking at his toe, then looking at his tarsals. And then looking at the metatarsals and the phalanges. You need to start, go back, and you won't even understand the foot unless you look at the whole foot. Okay? And I could go through the whole anatomical process and parts of the body, but I don't want to make a career out of that. Finish reading what you were reading.
And we will hear you and do it.
And do it. Responsibility. They said that they would do it. Didn't they say they would do it? Read some more, Dree.
And the Lord heard your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a mind as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever.
Oh, that they would have a heart to hear me and do what I said. It would be well with their family forever. Somebody say, it didn't say family. Can I say duh? Duh. The descendants. If it's all of your descendants doing well, all of your descendants are part of your family. Okay? God is saying, if you would do that, it would be well with your descendants forever. What does that mean? The privilege would be continued, the responsibility would be filled out, and it would go well with you and your family, because you'll be operating and doing what I said, and you will be blessing other people, because God had already told Abraham, through you, all families of the earth will be blessed. Somebody say, he said through his seed. Yes, through his seed, but rest fully assured, Abraham is considered the father of the faithful. Dree, read yours that I have for you in Deuteronomy. No, that got Anne on Deuteronomy 26 and 17. Read for me.
Thou hast avouched the Lord this day.
You have sworn. You have made a vow. You have safekeep. You have avouched the Lord today.
To be thy God.
To be your God.
And to walk in his ways.
And to walk in the halak. In other words, we're going to do what he says. It's called halakha. To walk in his ways.
And to keep his statutes.
Mm-hmm.
And his commandments. And his judgments.
Yes.
And to hearken unto his voice.
Please read.
And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people.
We have made covenant, pops. You have sworn, you have avouched it. Listen to me and do what I say, and I have avouched then, okay, I got something for you. You've accepted the privilege. You said you're going to take the responsibility, and I'm not going to wean you on it. Let's get busy now. The world needs it. Families are in chaos. Families are being destroyed. Children are being killed. Children are being offered to little idol gods. War is everywhere. Ravage, pain, misery, disease, and all is in the world because of the chaotic treatment of how people treat the family. They don't listen to me. They think man can order the family when man's laws are so arbitrary from one street to another, even from one house to another. The rules change. Please finish reading what God said he's going to do when he avouched them.
As he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations.
First, I'm going to elevate you up high so you'll be looked up too. It didn't mean God's going to raise them up on a cloud. Or he's going to hang them from a string from the sky, and they'll be high above all people. Think, think. Your way of life, your laws, your statutes, the way that you deal with family, the way that you deal with family by focusing on me and my instruction will set you high above all the nations. What is another word for nations? Ethnic groups and families. The Greek word is ethnos. That's where we get ethnicity from. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Read, Andrina.
Which he hath made.
Yes.
In praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken.
Wow. I think I could stop right here, and we could just look at what things are, and look at what God had designed, and say, Lord, have mercy. Help us. But God had promised that if they would keep the privilege the privilege that they accepted in their mind and not neglect the responsibility, I will set you up in the position to help other nations. Nations are groups of families together in a region. Yes, it is. But the problem came, Gary, with the people having the privilege and thinking that the privilege meant that they could act like they wanted to, and they neglected their responsibility, and God had made a covenant with them. Dream Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, 2, 3, we're going to talk about it. God, as Andrina was reading, they had avowed the Lord, he had avowed them. They said what they would do, and God said, I will elevate you. You won't have to elevate yourself. It won't be about your money. It won't be about anything that you have, except that you have my statutes and my ordinance, and I will just add to you that which is necessary to bless your descendants forever and the other nations in the world. Let's bring it to us right now. Those of us who know that our families aren't like they should be, why not go back to God? God does not change. Do you want your family elevated, or you like it is? Are you ever sad for other families? Well, if you can't model a good family, how can you teach somebody else when they look at you and you full of abrogated covenants with God? You full of arbitrary rules, and you go by whatever the fad is for today. Bless God, he's trying to do something, and we want to join in on it. There's too much misery in the world not to. You want to talk about the problem of evil? The problem of evil is when families won't do like God say, and families break down to individuals, and when individuals won't do as God says, don't you expect chaos? God is a God of order. Man, when man tries to explain the world, he starts with chaos. And can't explain how he going to try to get rid of it, because everything he says is chaotic, and then he wants to impose the order of God and make me think that the order of God is where he starts from. No, I listen to him better than that. Read for me, Dree, Exodus 32, 1, 2, and 3.
When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron.
I want you to understand this one sad comment. They had promised all that God had said. They had seen what God had promised them. God made covenant with them. In chapter 20, God gave them specific commandments. The specific commandments we know. First one, that don't have any other God before me. Don't make any graven images. Don't bow to them. Don't make it of anything in the heaven above or the earth beneath. They went and they broke covenant right then with God. They broke covenant with God. The family, again, when God is trying to restore the family, is in the same situation as it was after Adam, as it was after the flood, as it was after the Tower of Babel. Here again, God is repeatedly trying to restore the family and give them help. But every time, well, not every time, but many times, because I can't say that with Abraham. But many times when God sends for a group of people to do a work, they fail. They miserably fail. And many people that's calling themselves Christians and Bible-believing people, they fail. They look at their lives. They don't keep God's responsibility, but they want to claim the privilege. I submit to you that when you claim the privilege, you automatically have to take the responsibility or covenant is broken. All the mighty things that God has sworn that he would do for you and your descendants forever and the nations because of you, you thwart yourself having a position in it. Bless God forever. Amen. But there's a consequence. There's a consequence when you abrogate. Abrogate is a word is when somebody breaks a law or they make a law no longer valid. Now, you can abrogate a law that has been made, and there's a consequence if you're not the lawgiver. If you are the lawgiver, you can abrogate or make a law be loosed. Jesus said that the word of God shall not be loosed. That's when you read the scripture, and Jesus said the scripture can't be broken if you're in King James, John 10:35, that means abrogated or broken. But the consequence of that, Exodus 32 and 7, please read.
And the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves.
Self-imposed corruption happens when individuals turn away from the knowledge of God, when they turn away from the privilege given, and they decide we're not going to hold to the responsibility. That's self-imposed corruption. What do you mean corruption? You have taken yourself from the position that God has given you, and you lowered the standard. You have corrupted that which God, from a peculiar people to a holy nation, to where you're like everybody else and you're unholy. That's self-imposed corruption. But that's not where it stops. We're dealing with Almighty God. In Exodus 32 and verse 8, let's look at God's imposed judgments. Please read.
They have turned aside quickly out of the way I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people.
You went from peculiar to holy to one that's going to be in covenant with him, and now you're being called stiff-necked, stubborn, obstinate, what you call obstreperous. You have become to the place where you want to show autonomy or self-rule. Instead of understanding that I am the king and you are my vice regent, you have become one that is in total rebellion unto me. What is the consequence of the judgment of God for that in verse number 10? Read it, please.
Now, therefore, let me alone.
Let me alone, Moses. Quit pleading for the people. Because believe me, Moses wasn't holding his hand.
That my wrath may burn hot against them.
The judgment of God is when I've done all of this for you. When I'm allowing you to help me do something to save the people, to help families. And you just thwart my plans in your life through your wretchedness. My wrath waxed hot, and we say, what else?
And I may consume them in order that I may make a great nation of you.
I'll make a new family out of you, Moses. I will have a family. I don't have to have them. I don't have to have them to be the family for me. But Moses didn't stop there. You see, we started in Exodus 33 when God said, I won't go up with them unless I consume them. I'll send the angel. They forfeited what God was going to do. They forfeited what God was going to do in this family, what God was going to do for the nation. Israel, that was their job to do it for them. Thank God it has been fulfilled in Christ. Yes, I jumped ahead. I can do that. I'm the one teaching today. I can jump ahead and say it was fulfilled in Christ. It is also going to be fulfilled in those of us who understand what the Word of God say, and we have been made our mind up to not only accept the privilege but the responsibility to live as God say and treat our families like God say, and then model it and then treat our neighbors that way so that they will want to see. But why are we so peculiar? Why is our standard so high? It's because of the God that we serve. That's where God wants us to be. That's what God needs right now. But what we want to do is have self-autonomous men that tell us how to live. And it's never going to work. Read for me Exodus 32, 13 and 14. I want us to understand how God is going to bring help to the family. This is very important. Moses is in the place where God wants to bust the people. God wants to deal with them for their wickedness and start the family all over again, in part with one descendant, which is Moses. But Moses doesn't want it to happen. Read.
Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel.
Hold on right there. And get for me Jeremiah 31, 35-37. Here's what we're dealing with. He's saying, remember the family that you chose? This is what he's saying. Remember, Moses is pleading for the people. Remember, you promised Abraham. Remember Isaac and Israel? They were your family. They were your family. Now, Moses conveniently left out that I'm one of their descendants. Because if God had consumed him, he still would have kept his word. But Moses is pleading, remember what?
Abraham, Isaac, and Israel.
Remember that family that you selected to be that one man to bless the world? Remember, Lord, please read.
Your servants,
yes.
To whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, I will heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever.
14.
And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of, bringing on his people.
Let me tell you something. Do you see how important the family is? If you don't see how important the family is, Moses did not go to anything except you gave your word to this man that you would bless his offspring. Don't kill this many of his people. Don't kill this many of his descendants. Don't do it, Lord. I know you can make a family out of me. Don't do it, Lord. Remember what you promised him. You did it by your own name. Other nations will look and see, because I think they're going to be strong. And they're going to say, you brought him out here to kill. They're going to look at your name and not really believe that you are who you say that you are. What do people see when they look at us? If they could see the way that we really get along, husband and wife, could they see as a husband that you are obstreperous, you're mean, you're a bully, or do they see somebody that really loves God and that you really strive to please him and that you treat your wife as if she is the blessed gift from God that he gave, just like he gave Adam, fully equipped to help, fully equipped to bring life when you can bring in godly offspring, fully equipped to help you accomplish the goals that God has set for you in your life? Or is she just another piece of meat? Or is she just another person that wash your dirty underwear? Pick them up off the floor with your socks. Is that all she is? Or somebody to go to work and bring him a check? Or somebody that you can talk hard to because you're scared to do it to your boss? You're scared to do it to your neighbor? But I do her. What do your children think when they see you? Or you're somebody that you can look to and they say, I want that God that my daddy and my mom serve. Because with them, there is life. I can see that in following and living like they do, God has always blessed us. Other people, we don't have the problem that they have. When I go home, it's a safe haven. It's a haven of peace. I know God answers my prayers. Or do the children see so much chaos and so much religion instead of God's word? If I could just get a scholarship, if they don't have enough money, if I could just get a scholarship and get out, I'll never go back no more, no more. And if I can't do that, if they'll allow me to go in the military, I'm gone. Well, the family was important enough to God, and Moses knew that it was. That God had selected this one man, that this is the first thing that he mentions. But what does God say about this family? What does God say? How does God feel about this family of Abraham? Read for me Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37, Andrea. 31, 35. Did I tell you the wrong thing? Thus says the Lord. He's already talking about he's going to make a new covenant with Israel and a new covenant with Judah. We're not reading that part. Read on.
Which giveth the sun for a light by day.
God made a new covenant because they broke the first one. So he's going to make a new covenant with them in the house of Israel. And he said, I'm going to give you my qualifications. So just in case you think I can't keep it. I'm the one that makes the sun that gives the light by day. And it just pop out of an explosion. Please read.
And the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night.
Mm-hmm.
Which divideth the sea. When the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever.
Read on.
Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done.
I need you to understand something. Why would Tim bring this in? I want you to understand, just like Moses knew to go to God with what he had told Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, God means to keep that family, but everybody in that family that is natural born will not make it. But I submit to you that God is swearing by his own strength. I make the sun, I make the moon, I make all the ordinances. Man has nothing to do with that. And it can't be an evolutionary process because there's too much order, too much system. You can't tell the future without God's order. What do you mean tell the future? People think because yesterday it rained, there's nothing going to happen. Or But if the sun came up, whether you see it or not under the clouds, it's going to do it again today. But if everything was random, you couldn't count on it. You think that things in the past is the way it is now, right? And you think in the past, which is today, is going to be the way it is in the future. You think because of the uniformity of our life is that we can tell what the future will be like. But if it's random chaos like they said, then you would not have that. If everything was like people said, you would still have all kind of transitional forms, but you don't. But then you think, well, it was like this years ago. It'll be like this years from now. It was like that yesterday. It'll be like this today. In other words, sun, moon, everything like that. We got air to breathe. So you think it'll be that way tomorrow. But you think you're telling the future. Based on God for us. The evolutionary process is random chaos. We impose God's standards in an ungodly world. I'll explain it this way, and then I'm going to be through talking about this explanation. I can say all day long that I don't believe in pistons in a car. And mean it. But then I get in and crank up my car and drive. I am borrowing from the mechanical worldview that if I put certain things together and make combustion and make it continually go with the chain, whatever that keeps it going, that I can drive. Many people, they do things that they don't understand, that they don't believe in. You don't have to believe that somebody can take out your kidney and you still live. But you can be in an accident and you're in a coma and somebody sign a paper for them to take that kidney out that's messed up so that you don't die and you come back to us and say, I still don't believe it. But you're still living on the borrowed capital of somebody that did believe it. I tell you that those that don't believe in the word of God and they believe in the random chaotic world that's set up and taught in school, they borrow from our capital where God gives order and system, etc. Talk about that later. Now, why did I bring this up, too, about the family and God doing it forever? It's because I want us to understand, if you don't believe the word of God and the revealed word of God, how do you explain the Hebrew people? How do you explain them still being here? Case in point, the Jews. Egypt tried to get rid of them. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Philistines, the Assyrians, Babylon, Edomites, Hitler, Stalin, America didn't want them. How do you explain the Jews still being here? They lost their language, okay? They lost the Hebrew language. Titus came through in Rome and destroyed their temple. They spread it all over the world. And yet they were able to keep their culture. And then back in the 20s, they had the Zionist movement. And with Theodore Herzl, and they went back to that land. And in the Balfour Agreement in 1948, they got the land back. But the point that I'm making is, show me any other nation in the world where they have lost their language. And where people didn't know it. And they came back and got it again. That's God talking. I said I'm going to keep that family as an example. Example of what? Of what's righteous and how I deal with the unrighteous. Those that take my responsibility too lightly. Those that have my privilege, great. But what does that mean for us? Well, I'm going to keep and jump ahead. Those that follow God, those that are accepted by God, they are going to be in the family because the family of Abraham was not just the descendants that came through his loins. But those that had the same mindset, that whatever God say, I will do and be obedient. I know Dree want to read for me Genesis 26 and verse 5. And I'm going to go back to where we are. There's a recurring theme throughout the Bible. There's a family that has privilege and responsibility that messes up. And there's God recurring, trying to restore it. I mentioned Adam before. I mentioned the flood. I've talked to you all about it before. I've shown you the different things with the fossils. We talk about the tower. We talk about the Exodus. But I say the only help for this world and for the family to be restored is God's order. That's the only help. Now, if you will, and if you will turn to me, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Three, did you get that for me in Genesis 26? Read it for me, please.
Your offspring as the stars of heaven.
That's not Genesis 26:5, I promise.
It's 26:5.
I want 5.
Be because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law.
This is the only thing that I want you to see. Bree was doing me a favor, but I didn't realize it at the point when she was reading it first. But I'll go ahead and quote it while you go ahead and get to me Romans 1 and 1. And here's the thing that I want us to understand. God, in talking to Isaac, let Isaac know that because Abraham, and I had made promises to him, I'll pass the promise on to you. You're his son. You're his son of promise. But I did it not just because I promised it. Not just because I swore it. He had a part to play. He didn't break my covenant. He kept my standards. He kept my ordinance. He kept my command. Because he did that, it's unbreakable. That's a bond that cannot be broken. He's with me and I'm with him, and I got the power. When he's with me, he's got the power. Yes, he does. When I'm riding in my car, I can move 60 miles an hour. I can move 70. I can move 85 and get a ticket and pay a big fine. But by myself, I don't know how fast I can move per hour, but however fast it is, I won't be able to be sustained not too long. Read for me one and one. I want you to see something.
Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God.
I want you to understand this. When did he promise it?
Which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture.
What do you mean, Tim, the gospel of God that he promised beforehand in the Holy Scripture? I told you early when God gave those people the privilege. It was the good news of the privilege. Didn't I say that? The good news is the gospel. That was the responsibility of the good news. Yes, it was. And that was a covenant that they were supposed to keep in the good news. I'm saying that the gospel of God has been around a long time. It's just the fact that we don't realize it. Read the 16th verse and then and you got the other one for me. Read the 16th verse.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
The gospel is the gospel of God. The gospel is the gospel of Christ. Read the 17th verse.
For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith.
The faith that Abraham exhibited in God is the faith that individuals that are in the family of God must reach and attain to. And if you'll get for me Romans 4 and 1, and if you read for me the Romans, what I have for you, the first chapter in the 18th verse, I want to show us something.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
The wrath of God that he was going to give on Israel. Moses, move and leave me alone that I may come and consume them in a hot moment. God has given us laws. He has given the family. They accepted and they still turn and say, I don't want to be the family that you want me to be. I want to do it my way. And God's wrath was quite hot on them. I submit to you that the Bible says the wrath of God is upon men to suppress the truth. Adam suppressed the truth. The people during the time before the flood, they suppressed the truth of God. The people after the flood, they suppressed the truth of God and what God wanted for families and what God wanted in the sense of righteousness. The people in the Exodus, they suppressed the truth and built a golden calf. Yes, they did. God was trying to set them up so that they could help themselves and families and help the world. And the wrath of God comes upon the families or the people of disobedience. And we in America are no different. We suppress the truth. We believe a family will over God's word. We believe in our own self rule over realizing we're dependent on this earth. We don't love ourselves like we should. What I mean, love ourselves. If you love yourself, you really want God to be in your behalf at all times. We don't love our families as we should. Most of the time, we don't point them to God. We might point to religion, but not to God of the scriptures. Religion doesn't have to do with anything. You might, Confucius say, or who cares what Confucius say? Where did Confucius get his truth? It's a self-attesting statement of his own. It is not the revealed word of God. You can look back through the annals of antiquity and see that it comports with what the world is. Bless God forever. Amen. For the wrath of God, we can see in the past, is revealed against those who hold the truth or suppress the truth. Do not think that it changes for us. They were in covenant with God. They had privilege with God. They were supposed to have a responsibility they lived up to. Those of us who say that we love God, same picture. Privilege, responsibility, how will you deal with the covenant? The wrath of God is revealed. Please read in.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them.
I submit to you that Hittites, Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, they had the knowledge of God before when the Tower of Babel was split. And when people lose a lot of the knowledge of God, it's because their parents don't teach them. Their parents feel that we can do things our own way. We can ignore God, so go away. That's a lie. That's a lie. But that's not the only thing. That which may be known of God is manifestly assured that God was giving them a test that had been shown brighter through this one family that let it down. But somebody said, but what about the people that didn't find out about the Jews? What about the heathen? What about the heathen? Finish reading, and let the Lord speak through Paul.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen.
Clearly what?
Clearly seen.
How are they done?
Being understood by the things that are made.
Yes.
Even his eternal power and Godhead.
If you want to be a fool and think the tree just popped up out of something the size of a period that was spinning, you have forced yourself to suppress the truth. If you want to believe all life forms, they just came from a paramecium, and you don't see splits of paramecium and all these transitional forms now, then you are suppressing the truth because you want to believe the lie. You can't say that your car just popped up out of a junkyard with a bomb. No, you can't. You can't say that planes came from nothing. You can't believe that even a pencil was not designed, but you think that the most primitive of the president of this world came from nothing. That despises and that makes fun of everything that you know in life. And then the very thing you should do.
And yet when you see order and system and you realize that everything you do has order and system is designed. They'll say that the new evolution of Chrysler, that Chrysler did not evolve. They had people to draw. And to fix the way it can't be fixed easily. We put the motor in certain ways, you can't fix it easily. We make electronic stuff that you can't go in and put your own stereo in. It was not involved. We made that stuff. We can make it when we get more gas up than we get bad drink. Sometimes I wonder if the gas companies and the car companies are friends. The invisible things are made. And read me the next verse. Let Paul talk.
So that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God.
I can't let that rest. When they knew God as God, they glorified his God. When they knew God as God, they decided that they wanted to do the ungodly thing and listen to the serpent. When they knew God as God, they came from the ark and did what? Shortly after they built the tower. When they knew God as God, instead of following Jesus, we want to follow the Muhammad. We want to follow the Buddha. We want to follow St. Arthur. Well, somebody say, well, they came as a damnable lie. It is a lie. It is a lie. It is a lie. Because God had already been speaking throughout the annals of antiquity. Before Jesus the Christ was born, he was the Word of God, who lives and abides forever. Read some more of the sweetest Word of God, Adrian.
So neither good. Were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
They became vain. They start being futile in their mind, and their foolish heart was darkened. They start saying, oh, let this God, we're going to have a feast, we're going to so-and-so. And today, we got all kinds of worship all over the world. And how many of them bring the family back to the order that God wants? I submit to you, when the family is in the order that God wants, the world will be in the order that God wants. It doesn't start with just the family, it's the individual that works their way through a family. And I submit to you, it starts with men. That's God's order. But when God's order can't be done by men, women, it'll start with you because men will not accept the responsibility. They running from that dog. They're going to run in the door and close it. And the two will never meet many times. Don't let us throw you down. Please read.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
And we call them philosophers. And we call them religious gurus today. Please read.
And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things.
And they made gods of men with dog's heads in Egypt, of eagles in Egypt, of cows, of bulls, of snakes, and of frogs in Egypt. The children of Israel made a calf. One time God allowed them to have a serpent, and they started using the serpent for something that it wasn't designed for. We today, we start saying, well, we like Hegel, we like Kant, we like Rousseau, we like all that. We don't make statues of them or something they have painted. I like what he says about this, and I know that he is right. I like Freud. I like Kierkegaard. But what did they do for the family? How did they live their life? How did they die? Well, I like Martin and Kirkland. What did the Word of God say? If we live by the Word of God as individuals, honor Him. Honor Him. Live at peace with each other by His standard. Living at peace with each other does not mean you don't tell somebody when they're wrong. Living at peace with each other doesn't mean you don't judge a person. When he stole your car, he stole your car. And he needs to pay you back and deal with it. We need to learn God's standard so that we can privilege that He gives us. And the responsibility is accepted by us when we encounter with we can somebody else. Please read some more of the sweet word of God.
Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart.
And they were running around naked, and the Canaanites were having men with men, women with women, men with animals, women with animals. And doesn't that happen today? And we glorify it. That is not the order of the family. The animals go after their kind, humans go after their kind, and you seek to have pleasure in this earth more than the pleasure of being right with God because you don't want responsibility. You want leisure. Please read.
To honor their own bodies between themselves.
Mm-hmm.
To change the truth of God into a lie.
And we change the truth. Into a lie. Instead of in the beginning, God revealing Himself, because man cannot reveal God. Any man that can reveal God to us, better than God to you and me in the position of being God. There is nothing that I will allow to speak to me to validate the Word of God other than God's Word. It can work together with it, but the very thing that will validate God to me should be the thing that's over God. I don't play those games. But we change the truth of God into a lie, and we are listening to something that's come on Nova, National Geographic, that's 24 by a foundation, and many times the so-called research has been done because people got grants. Because they got a certain agenda that's want to be done. When you go read the chart of UNESCO and see what they say the official doctrine of dealing with the origin of life is, you might understand that it's not accidental that this stuff is being taught. Been a long war against God. Read some more, Andrina.
And worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
That's why hedonism is so high. They serve and worship the creature and the creaturely comforts more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Give me some more.
For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet.
You see, when the people of Israel did what they did with the golden calf, God said they corrupted themselves. It's the same thing. After the flood, they corrupted themselves. After the fall with Adam, they corrupted themselves, and God destroyed the earth. Here, we see in America, those of us that don't follow God, we have corrupted ourselves. Women with women, doing the ungodly. This is not what God designed, but you say it's okay. We enjoy it. If God did not want us to enjoy it, I've heard it say, why would it be so pleasurable? Well, let me tell you something. A man that likes revenge when he kills somebody, he finds it pleasurable. Those that are abusive, they find it pleasurable. Believe that. Those that like power bombing up and seeing people die, they find pleasure. Well, then men with men do the ungodly. family. That is not what God designed. God designed for a man to bring forth children. His organ is not to just bring the pleasure, it's to bring glory and honor to God and bring a union between the man and the woman that he married with that will bring God the ultimate joy. And that man and that kid will become a vice regent with God to promote the peace and the tranquility in the world that God wants. You're not in charge of this world, man. You're not in charge, old woman. But you do what you want to do in the wrath of God. God's judgment is that you're corrupt. Now, let's see what the outworkings of that wickedness is. Read on, Ann. You have to go faster for me.
And
now.
Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Thank you, Andrea. I appreciate this. I've already taught this chapter before, but I wanted to bring it in and show that the pattern is there. And I'm telling you now, when we don't do like we should as a family, I rest assured, not only will men be with men and women, be with women, but when the mind becomes corrupt and reprobate and God doesn't deal with it, you're going to have covetousness and fornication, murder, and with a lot of fornication, you have illegitimate children. And the illegitimate children grow up in the home that they're not supposed to grow in. Many times it's not even a home. They become like wild, savage beasts, carjacking people, stealing from people, robbing and plundering. We see that. We find the world full of maliciousness and envy and covetousness. That's why people will steal from you. They covet what you have. You find that people become drunkards. They hate God and they're totally disobedient to parents. They lose the system of order that God has set up so that this world can operate properly. Because the first order is for you to understand who's over you. Who's over you is your parents. Your parents have someone over them. So that is the ultimate redress of issues. That's with God. And then the Bible says they're going to have natural affection. It's talking about the natural affection of the family. And then it says you can't appease them. That's what implacable means. You can't appease them even when you've done them wrong by accident. And then it says it's unmerciful. This is what our world gives us. Murder, hate, war, rape. Families that don't like each other throwing their parents away when you can take care of them. This is what happens whenever the family does not take the privilege of God seriously and embrace the responsibility and walk in covenant so that you can live it and you can teach that which you know. I've been already about 3 minutes longer than I wanted to be, but I got one more thing I need Dree to read for me. Dree, you got 4:1 for me in the book of Romans. Read it for me, please.
What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh?
Did you see I made that jump? I went from the judgment of God, and I go right back to the family, right back to Abraham, the very one that Moses used when God was getting ready to destroy them. Remember the man that you started this family with to teach mankind, and go, what is it that Abraham, our father, according to the flesh, has learned? Read.
For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about.
Abraham kept God's laws, judgments, and commandments. Why did he do it? Not because he designed it, I'm going to be the father of the world. God gave it. He took the privilege. He embraced the responsibility. He stayed in covenant with God that he gave him in Genesis 15. And he obeyed God because he believed in God's promise that I can be the man that show what family is all about and walking with you and my family can be blessed and all nations can be blessed because of me. Bless his everlasting name. That's what Abraham learned. Read some more of the sweet word of God. I love it.
But not before God.
Read.
For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him as righteousness.
Yes.
Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due.
See, now when you understand that there are some people in this world that don't like God's standard and they want to always set up their standard, what their standard is what is called a work. What God's standard is what is called and what specifically is the responsibility of the believer. If you will, I just need you to do one more thing for me. I want you to read the 12th verse for me.
And to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised,
but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had.
I don't like that. I don't like that. That's my fault. Let's go back to read verse 9, because he's going to talk about David and Abraham, but I want to just talk about Abraham. Abraham's come before David. David is actually in the family of Abraham, but I want to talk about exactly, or I want to end with how Abraham is the father of the faith to those people that are Jews. And I want to understand that the family that Abraham has is not just the Jews, but it's all those that will believe in God like he did. Take me from verse 9, please.
Is this blessing then only for the circumcised?
Circumcised is another name for the Jews.
Or also for the uncircumcised.
That's the nations, that the other families that were supposed to be blessed, though they did not have to walk in circumcision.
We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness.
Okay.
How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before.
When Abraham, before he ever was circumcised, Abraham was just like anybody else, but God selected him, and this man took the privilege, embraced the responsibility, walked in covenant with him before he was ever circumcised, so that if you feel that because a person is not a Jew by blood, then Abraham can't be his father, Paul is getting ready to show, that's a lie. Read.
He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose was to make him the father of all.
To make him the what?
The father of all who believe.
Yes.
Without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well.
Last verse 12.
And to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised.
Do you see what the Lord is saying? Give me 13, and that'll be a good one.
For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith.
Do you understand what this Paul has just said? Abraham should be the father of all who believe. If I was to go to Romans and talk about it, I would talk about being the children of Abraham. But this is plain enough. Those who will follow God, that would look at what God wants to do for the family, and they embrace God's word the way Abraham did, the way Isaac did, the way that Jacob eventually did, those individuals would become the sons of Abraham, although they did not come from his loins. I'm talking about genetically speaking. And those that are genetically Abraham's children will become the children of Abraham if they follow in the faithfulness of him. If they don't, they will not be. You read John chapter 8, 31 through about 44, you'll see there was some that were the sons of Abraham genetically, and Jesus said, no, you're not sons of God, you're not in the family of God, you're of your father, the devil. The family. God brought help to the family. God's desire is to help the family. If the family allows itself to be helped by each individual walking with God, they won't corrupt themselves. They will stay in covenant with him. They will embrace the responsibility, and they will enjoy the privilege. But the privilege is that of something that I heard Andrina say to me one time. God didn't save the people out of the land of Egypt from being slaves to go out and just be autonomous. He saved them from being slaves to sin, or to be being saved to Egypt to come and be bond slaves to him. The bond slave was a high position, Aunt Ruby. A bond slave means that if this man was very wealthy and very good and you were not in his family, you could go and have your ear put up against the wall when it's time for you to be released. And they would knock all through your ear like an ice pick, like you pierce your ears at the door of the house, and that would mean you are a son of the house. You're a son of a house. It's almost like being an adopted son. Eleazar, if Abraham wouldn't have had any children, that was going to be his. Everything would have been his. But God said, I got a family. And the family is important to me. The blood is important to me. The family is important to me. But if that can't be like I want it, we can transcend and become in the family of God. I want it all to be the family. But if the family won't do things like I want, and be right with me, right with each other, you make sure that you're in the family of God. God has help for the family in his repeated destructive ways.
Are we going to be part of the solution? Are we going to be part of the problem? If we're going to be part of the solution, we need to get our minds right and start seeing what it is that God wants and how we can help in accomplishing that task. Other than that, we're going to see families and individuals destroyed under the wrath of God. And what did we do? Hardly anything. Everywhere Abraham went, he would make an altar look like altars. Altars. People wanted to be in covenant with Abraham. Abraham, we want to be a part of you and what you have. If that's what we're going to be, then we need to get on the stick, as they call it, and get busy with God. Hopefully, we'll think this thing through again and realize that we got a great opportunity here to serve with God as a kingdom of priests, as a peculiar people, as a holy nation, with families high above all that are above the earth, not because of who we are, but because of the knowledge that God has given us, so that we can be a benefit to all. Father, bless your word today. Bless your word in our hearts and in our minds. Help us to embrace that which we need to embrace, get rid of what we need to get rid of, so that we can please you, because you've shown many times before, you'll find somebody that will if we won't. Help us out in the blessing of your holy child, Jesus the righteous. Amen.